So, the text that I read from was entitled, Rules for the New Life. It's no longer our rules, it's God's rules. Our author tells us to build each other up and be imitators of God, love and forgive. It seems so simple, yet really hard. How are you doing on this guide, getting along? How are you doing? Have you been truly living as someone with a new life in Jesus? Are you able to follow these instructions? So as I was getting ready for this sermon, a beautiful article from the New York Times came into my email box, and it brought everything together. So I'm going to read from the New York Times an article, not all of it, part of it, entitled, What Do the Poor Need? Try Asking Them. So for decades, policymakers have treated poverty as a sign of helplessness and inaptitude. The worse off the neighborhood, the higher the rate of poverty, crime, and juvenile delinquency, the less influence it would have over its future. Social service agencies conducted needs assessments rather than asking residents what would strengthen their community. Government agencies or private entrepreneurs then delivered brick-and-mortar solutions, a new school, a medical clinic, or housing. It would seldom work. Take Baltimore, which has been renewed again and again. Two decades ago, more than $130 million was poured into the neighborhood where the arrest of Freddie Gray sparked riots last spring. The vision was grand. More than 1,000 homes were built and renovated. Education and health services were introduced. But the jobs disappeared, and the drug trade continued to flourish. To improve poor neighborhoods, the people who live there must have a hand in deciding their own fate. That approach worked well in Houston, where one program has enabled hundreds of thousands of poor residents, many of them immigrants, to move up the ladder of economic and educational opportunity each year. It's a strategy that can and should be implemented nationwide. So I ask you, as Christians, are we to be asking, what do you need? What would make your community better? So, I'm excited to say that because of the Mike Mathers workshop and other people who have really latched onto this, including myself, we, through an outreach grant, have hired two roving listeners. Our roving listeners are going to be walking through the neighborhood and talking with people, meeting people, and asking them about their gifts. Not about their needs, not about what the church can do for them, but asking about their God-given gifts. And then we plan to use those gifts in our community at large and in our community of faith. The theory is that if we give people a chance to use their gifts, they will shine. They will shine. I'm wondering if some of their light has been put out because of all the questions they're asked. What do you need? How poor are you? Why are you here? What all these negative questions instead of what are your God-given gifts? So, there are some roving listeners. I have to say that we have hired two roving listeners, but that doesn't mean any of you are off the hook. You have this future. You are a good listener. Each of you I am asking and inviting and going to ask you later in person, have you talked with someone lately? Have you asked them about their gifts? Have you shared this gift with another? Have you told someone, oh, this person has this gift. They can sing, they can dance, they can cook, they can sew, whatever the gift may be. You are all good listeners. So a while back, I think it was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I read a story about a woman. The author was actually someone who had lived in poverty her entire adult life. And the article was about her response to when people ask, why do you buy cigarettes when you're poor? Why are you buying junk food when you're poor? And she had this wonderful response. I really enjoyed the article. It was basically, our life really stinks, and we live in a basic, our everyday is a basic depression. We are always in, have some sort of depression because it just is awful. So we do a few things, like eat junk food or smoke cigarettes, because it brings us just a little bit of pleasure in our rotten life. It was a very, very raw article, and I have that for you if you would like to read it. So I was really taken by this woman. So what I did is on the bottom of the article it said, if you want to know more, email me. So I emailed her. And then that turned into, oh, you're asking really hard questions. Why don't we talk? So on one of my trips to Boston, I talked with her for about an hour on the Bluetooth. And I said, my biggest question was, what do you see the role of the church in your life? What is the role of the church? Not necessarily this church, but the church. She lives in California, by the way. And she said, well, I can speak for myself and I can speak for others around me, and this is what I know from those around me. The church is seen in two ways. One is a place to get stuff. I can go there and get food, I can go there and get money, I can go there and get clothes. And that's one way that many people see the church. And the second way is, they see the church as a place to get faith. It's their rock. They come because when they're at church and when they are praising God, it gives them some strength to make it to the next day. So those were the two reasons she said that herself and people around her, how they viewed church. But Christianity isn't just about giving things out. It's about building friendships, building relationships, not just giving a service. Have we been missing the mark to think that we needed to be able to give resources when what we really needed to do was just ask, build friendships, and believe all people have a God-given gift? We are to ask and then empower people to use their God-given gift. So maybe that light has been put out a little bit, or maybe it's almost totally out. But what if we as Christians lifted people up, not by making sure that they had all the resources they needed, but by asking them to use their God-given purpose in this life, so that it's giving and receiving and giving, not just a one-way street? I bet a lot more light would be shining if we gave people a chance to share their gift. Maybe we need to stop thinking in terms of us and them and start to look at each person as someone with a God-given gift. Because I am a child of God, and you are a child of God, and all people are children of God. Amen.